It was 74 years ago today, that's September 1, 1939, Germany invaded Poland, and that would be the date on which we'll begin the Second World War. The Germans used deceit to make it appear that the Poles started the hostilities as excuse for their invasion. And in a speech later to the German people by their Chancellor Adolf Hitler, he said, and I quote, "Almighty God has given his blessing." And it is especially galling when a man so full of himself and so full of hatred against others, against the Jews, should invoke God. Yet Hitler is not alone. History is replete with excesses done by people who invoke God having called them. Ang kasaysayan ay puno ng mga taong ginagamit ang pangalan ng Diyos para sa lahat ng uri ng kanilang mga panatikong gawain at hindi tayo sumasang-ayon sa anumang bagay na ito. But we are dealing with an encounter which is exactly the opposite. God is actually calling this man, and yet this man, Moses, is very reluctant. His encounter with God will be immortalized as the passage of the burning bush, no less than Jesus called it, the passage about the bush. And there are also many sidelights we can learn concerning what faith is, how we respond to the calling of God. But ultimately, in approaching this passage, let us not forget that Moses stands as mediator of Israel. And therefore, when we use this passage, let us not forget to anticipate the Lord Jesus himself. So it is in the light of that significance that we are to weigh how the Lord appeared to Moses in the context of covenant remembrance. Naalala ng Panginoon ang kanyang tipan, hindi ibig sabihin na kanyang nalimutan, kundi yung pag-alala ng tipan ay nangangahulugan na isa sa katuparan na niya ang kanyang ipinangako sa mga patriarka, sa kala Abraham, Isaac, at Jacob, at ngayon sa pagdalaw niya kay Moises, sa kanyang paglitaw kay Moises, ay tinatawag niya ito upang siyang magsakatuparan ng kanyang tipan. And he introduces himself to Moses by the God of the patriarchs, God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And when God introduces himself in that way, it is in order to tell Moses that he is the God of the covenant. God identifies himself with his people by his covenant of grace. He is unlike pagan gods, with whom pagans dealt according to natural forces or according to sentiment and emotion of circumstances. The God of the Scriptures, the true God, deals with his people by covenant pledge, by covenant promise. And now the commission of Moses is revealed, and we understand why Moses was full of self-doubt, self-disbelief. Parang tinatanong niya, who, me? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and go to Israel? But the Lord gave assurance to Moses. And one thing that we learn from that is conviction of God's commission of us transcends self. As we continue, I invite you now to turn to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" Now, having asked the question, "Who am I?" Moses' next question is, "Who are you?" And the answer the Lord gives to Moses is one of the most well-known passages in the Old Testament, one of the most discussed in scholarly circles, and yet there is very little unanimity as far as scholars are concerned. But let me give you this message for this afternoon. Personal knowledge of God is an imperative for submission to Him. ang personal na pagkakilala sa Diyos ay lubhang kailangan upang magpasakop sa Kanya. Personal knowledge of God is an imperative for submission to Him. Moses is being commissioned to Egypt and with the Israelites. And remember that that is a place and that is a people of Moses' traumatic past. And we may be in a similar instance. We can understand the self-doubt that filled Moses. It may be our own self-doubt. But because the answer is the Lord's, I will be with you, it is logical to ask, who are you anyway? Yes, you will be with me. That's fine. But who are you? And the answer is, I am who I am. God instructs Moses, say to this people or say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. What a bizarre answer it is if we just take it for the words they are. And in fact, there have been sects formed that bear the name of I am, grupong ako nga, and many other bizarre interpretations of this passage. But I have kept till now the one object that will help us in our own interpretation and approach, the burning bush. What does the introduction of God as I am who I am mean? I have three statements in association with that. First, I am only one. Ako ay nag-iisa lamang. I am only one. Secondly, I am always here. Ako ay laging naririto. I am always here. And thirdly, I am sending you. Ako ang nagsusugo sa iyo. I am sending you. So those words, if we associate that in the way God chose to reveal Himself to Moses, the burning bush, this is what it means. First of all, I am only one. In anticipation, Moses asks, when the Israelites ask me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? Now you see, behind this question lies the premise that since there are many gods in Egypt, who among them? And the Lord's answer to Moses is basically, I am. There is no other one like I am. Not in Egypt, not anywhere. And here we learn that he who knows God recognizes that there is no other God. Ang tunay na nakakakilala sa Diyos ay kumikilala na wala ng ibang Diyos maliban sa Kanya. He is the only true and living God. When God chose to descend on that particular bush in the desert, it immediately became unique. It was like no other bush. Before this appearance, it was a bush just like hundreds of other bushes in that region of Midian. But when that bush became the chosen venue of God's presence, it is unlike any. So with God, when you recognize Him, you cannot recognize Him as just one among many. Not even the best of the crop, not the better alternative. So when Moses asked the question, what name implies a choice among alternatives? And God's answer is saying, what name? Only me. There's no other God. There is only one true and living God. Every other deity is a pretended deity. Bawat nagaangking Diyos o bawat inaangking Diyos, maliban sa Diyos na nagpakilala at nagpahayag sa kasulatan at sa pamamagitan ni Jesucristo, ay hindi totoong Diyos. Walang katotohanan ang kanilang pagka-Diyos, and no truth is more basic than this, that the idols are nothing. Yahweh is being. He is living. And knowing God is not making a choice of the better alternative, not even the best among others. Rather, you are recognizing the only one. Siya lamang. And the Old Testament prophets are unsparing in their condemnation of all idolatry because there is only one true God. Listen to just one case, Jeremiah chapter 10, 9 and 10. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, gold from Uphaz. They are the work of the craftsman and the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all work of skilled men, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. What basically Jeremiah is saying, look at the idols crafted by their most skilled men. They are wonderful works of art, brightly colored, ostentatious, and when people look at them, they will gasp in admiration, but for all that, they're dead. They're non-existent. They're no gods. The true God needs no work of art. He is the living God. And the question to you is, have you owned this God? And in the New Testament, this one true God is identified as the one revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, He has declared Him. If you know any other God other than that God revealed by Jesus Christ, I am telling you, He is a false God. He is a non-existent God. And on this basis, we cannot agree to the proposition that all religions are using different names of God, but really they are invoking the same God, not true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad. Only Jesus Christ. And if you have any other God than that whom Christ reveals, then that is not the true God. Imagine Moses there in the face of that burning bush. Would it be immaterial had Moses approached any other bush on this occasion other than that burning bush? Would he have approached any other bush and that would remain the same? Of course not. God chose that bush. And that's the only bush for all the hundreds present. That's the only bush that has God in it. So when God says, I am who I am, He is telling Moses, asking the question, who among the gods? Only me. The last and greatest land battle of the Second World War in the Pacific happened in Okinawa. And imagine more than 100,000 Japanese soldiers chose to die. For what? For their emperor, Emperor Hirohito, who they were convinced was God. And one of the conditions when they surrendered, one of the impositions by the Allied forces was that the emperor would go on radio for the first time and announce to his people, he is not God. And you and I may have those things, relations, positions that we treat as God. And all that amounts to idolatry. And the challenge to us is break every idol which is taking the place that belongs to God alone. Any rival loyalty. Biblical conversion is described in these words in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Ang tunay na kaligtasan, ang tunay na panunumbalik sa Diyos ay ang pag-iwan sa mga idolo. Ano man ang idolo na yan? Relasyon na hindi mo maisuko at maibigay ang iyong sarili sa Diyos lamang? Posisyon na hindi mo maiwanan at nagiging nasa posisyon ng Diyos? So from pagan idols of images, it can become entertainment idols of celebrities, materialistic idols of money, relational idols. The most subtle idols are those that are good and profitable in themselves, except that they are made ultimate and they turn to idols. Examine what those idols are that have dwelt in the sanctuary of your heart. Cast them away. Moses is being called to bring the Israelites back to the God of their fathers from Egyptian idols. It will be a lifetime struggle of Moses with the Israelites, who time and again will fall into idolatry in the wilderness. And it will be to us a day-to-day battle to keep God in our hearts as exclusive and without rival. In our covenant meeting, we sang that song, "My Soul, Forget Him Not." This was written by one of the first converts of William Carey in India, Krishna Pal. And the very name Krishna tells you that he was once a guru, a believer in many of the Hindu gods that he had to cast away to recognize the God whom Jesus has revealed. And so he says, "Infinite truth and mercy shine in him, and he himself is thine. And cast thou then with sin beset such charms, such matchless charms, forget." And brethren, this is a day-to-day call for us. Cast away rival loyalty. When God said, "I am who I am," he is saying, "I am only one." Is God only one to us? The second thing, he is saying, "I am always here." Sinasabi rin niya, "Ako ay laging naririto." Now, one way to translate the original Hebrew, and I'm not going to weary you of what the Hebrew is, but the way to translate is, "I am always the being one." Rather ungrammatical, but that's what the original really is saying. "I am always the being one. I am inexhaustible." You see, this is the beauty of the burning bush. The point is not so much that it burns awesomely. It is not that it burns gloriously or even threateningly. The wonder is that it burns unconsumed. The sight of a burning bush in the desert was quite ordinary enough to Moses. Under the scorching heat of the sun, it does happen that some plant's bush will just catch fire. There was nothing extraordinary about a burning bush. What is so extraordinary about this bush is that it is not being consumed. And that is what the point of verse 2. He looked and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And what the message that it is getting across Moses, and something that we should know, is that he who knows God believes in the eternal consistency of his being. Tuloy-tuloy, walang pagbabago sa kanyang likas. God will be to Moses what he has been to the patriarchs in the past, and he will be to his people in the future. He will be to his church now. He is this God who appeared to Abraham, made a covenant with him, and he will perform what he has covenanted, because unlike the pretended deities of pagans, Yahweh is always here. Lagi siyang naririto. There are many who posit the idea that the God of the New Testament is an improvement to the God of the Old Testament. And often, the so-called difference is that wrath characterized the Old Testament God, where love characterizes the New Testament God, and nothing could be further from the truth. There is as much love in the God of the Old Testament as there is wrath in the God of the New Testament. Indeed, if you ask me, the hardest fall of God's wrath did not happen on Sodom. It did not happen in Noah's flood. It did not even happen on the judgment that befell the rebellious spirits. The greatest wrath of God, the greatest display of that wrath happened on the cross. When that man was suspended between heaven and earth, hanging upon the cross, he was taking upon himself the fullest measure of that wrath. And there you have the wrath of God falling the hardest. And when we commemorate it tonight in the Lord's Supper, don't do it in a manner that seems to take it for granted. Doon bumuhos ng gusto ang puot ng Diyos.
At malibang ikaw ay nasa krus ng Panginoong Hesukristo, naghihintay sa iyong bumuhos ang puot ng Diyos at ang tanging paraan upang makatakas ka sa puot ng Diyos ay sa ginawa ni Jesus ng kanyang angkinin, ang pinakahuling hibla ng kanyang puot, ng puot ng Diyos, upang panagot sa kanyang hatol. One of the iconic images of the Second World War is that umbrella of smoke rising from Hiroshima when on August 6, 1945, the atomic bomb was dropped. And immediately, hundreds of thousands died upon impact. There is a monument today where the atomic bomb was dropped nearby, and it is the wall of a building. It is exactly that same building when the atomic bomb dropped. Now, a silent and eerie memory of the impact of that bomb. Dingding na lang ang nakatayo. Ginawa nilang memorial. Magpapaalala ng bagsik ng teknolohiya ng tao. Ngunit wala iyan sa puot ng Diyos. And now the challenge to us is exercise confidence in the same God of biblical revelation in history. This God told Moses, "This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." I do not believe in the evolution of God, but I do believe in the progress of revelation. And since we are on this side of completed revelation in scriptures, we should know more of God than even Moses could have known. Mas may pribilehiyo tayong makilala, pero hindi nagbago ni katiting ang Diyos na nagpakita kay Moses sa burning bush. Yun pa rin ang ating Diyos. And it is no longer in the unconsumed burning bush that we see the eternal God. It is in the completed scriptures. Take moments to withdraw from your daily fluctuations, from the madding crowd, and commune with eternity. One famous journalist, Tom Brokaw, wrote the book, The Greatest Generation, and he is referring to that adult generation of World War II. They were the greatest in terms of accomplishment, in terms of civility, in terms of decency, and among others, Tom Brokaw suggests that because they went through war, they were close to the consciousness of eternity. That any time your life can be snatched out of you, and the thought of eternity makes a generation great. And that's what we need as a church. We are to shadow eternity. And we can only do so by this confidence. We are dealing with the same God who appeared to Moses. This is still the same God, consistent, inexhaustible, unconsumed. Nothing of his attributes is any less today than what he was in eternity past. And finally, knowing this, the last point is, I am sending you. Ako ang nagsusugo sa'yo. Twice in our text, Moses is instructed to use the name of God as the one who sent him to the Israelites. And here we learn that he who knows God counts his calling a gracious favor with a promise of enabling. After more expressions of reluctance, as we shall see, Moses will finally submit to this calling because he recognizes that who God is gives him the rightful claim. Kung sino ang Diyos, meron siyang karapatan na tayo ay tawagin. We see a similar reluctance, may I say, of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "If it be possible," as he was perceiving the gravity of sin that he was going to take upon himself and the substitution that he will undergo, taking the guilt of his people upon him. Perceiving that, he cried out, "If possible, let this cup pass from me. This is too much. But then he immediately added, not my will, but your will be done. And that is the stance of a man who has known God. The challenge to us is esteem with joy your place in the expansion of the kingdom of God. You need no burning bush encounter to know your place in the kingdom. Some of you are not even in the kingdom. The entry is free. It cost the Lord Jesus. What is restraining you? Come to Christ. Enter the kingdom. Some of you have your place in the kingdom staring you in the face, yet without knowing it. Moses will carry his knowledge of God. And the challenge to us is carry your knowledge of God where you are and where you go. I cannot mention the Second World War without referring to my favorite hero of that war. And he's not even a soldier. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a recently published biography. The title is Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. And in that book, the letter that is much quoted, that Bonhoeffer wrote in prison before he was killed by Hitler, are the words, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to act is to act. Not to speak is to speak. In other words, when we do not do anything in the face of evil, we are becoming allies of that evil. When you're not speaking against evil, you are speaking on behalf of evil. Find your place in the calling of God and in the kingdom of God, and let your knowledge of God become your imperative, why your will be done. So you're asking, who are you, Lord? I am the only one, and I'm always here. Now I am sending you. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo nga kami, O Diyos, at aming Ama, na angkinin ang katotohanan ito tungkol sa aming Diyos na iyong ipinakilala kay Moises. You are the only one. There is no other. And therefore, any other God except that God who revealed himself in Jesus Christ is a pretense, a fake. And grant, O Lord, that this would give us the courage to answer to your call, because this one true living God is the one calling us. And help us to break every idol that pretends to be ultimate and is in the sanctuary of our hearts. This God is unconsumed. All his attributes from the very beginning are not any less today. And help us, Lord, to believe in the inexhaustible God that we have. And this is the basis of our confidence to answer to your call, because you are the true God as you have always been, and never will you be consumed. And this is the God who is sending us. Indeed, we thank you that the Lord Jesus, though perceiving the gravity of sin, had that reluctance in Gethsemane, yet he bowed himself in full submission. Grant us the same submission, that we may accept our place in your kingdom, that we may truly serve you with submission, knowing you have every rightful claim, for you are the God who is everlasting. And yet this God everlasting has come down, and in the God-man, the Lord Jesus, we see again that I am. And may we have that same stance as Moses was told, I am has sent me. Be with us in submitting to your call. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.